So we continue with Wobo Impact, and we have heard from Joel Troyer and Marcia Hines this week. Yesterday, we spoke with Del Bigtree, who is the producer of the movie Vax. Today, we're going to talk to J.B. Handley. And you say, who is he? Well, with all of the things that you are in this life, with your occupation and everything, J.B., you are, for our causes today, you are the parent of a son who basically regressed. Is that right?
That's correct.
I'm talking to you today, and I believe you're in Oregon?
I am.
Okay. Well, first of all, welcome to the program. Welcome to Northeast Indiana, Northwest Ohio. Now, I'm assuming that a lot of what you say in an ongoing basis, when you do presentations, when you speak on panels and boards and all of that, wherever what you call your autism activism, wherever it takes you, I'd imagine you're not real high on the Christmas card list at the CDC. Is that a fair assumption?
That is true. That is very true.
So what was it with your son? Let's go first to what it was that happened to your son, and then let's talk about what that has done with you and what you're trying to do with what you think is a problem or a cause. Your son is how old now?
My son is now 15.
Okay.
His is a classic story, and I think this is probably one of the sources of my biggest frustration. My son never should have been vaccinated. There is a subset of vulnerable kids who we need to figure out well in advance of their first vaccine who simply cannot tolerate what the vaccines do. And the typical path, and this is the path for my son, is that each vaccine appointment, and unless you have children, you don't realize there's a 2-month appointment, a 4-month appointment, a 6-month appointment, a 12-month appointment, and on and on. Each appointment, he experienced a physical slide in his presentation. And so, for example, at 2 months, he developed eczema the next day. He stopped being able to sleep through the night. His stomach became distended. He got dark circles under his eyes. The sicknesses that he would have tended to go up. The ear infections started. And we never correlated the vaccination appointment with this new set of physical maladies. But in fact, that should have been a red flag for any knowledgeable pediatrician that this was not a child who was ready to be vaccinated again. And so
let me step in and ask you something real quick, because you know, I had Joel Troyer on here Monday, and we talked some on the air and some off the air. When you started talking about the gastric problems, that seems to be part of it, doesn't it? Everybody I'm reading and hearing, it's part of it.
Yeah, it is. And what we use the word comorbid, which is a confusing word. What comorbid means is that it's not just in the brain. You have all these underlying physical and medical symptoms. And I don't want to jump too far ahead, but it's so critical to know what's wrong, because if you can address those things, the thing we call autism can actually improve, as Marcia well knows.
Yeah.
And so, yes, I would say that in almost every child with autism, in particular, their gut is a mess, and addressing that gut and its interrelationship with the way the brain functions can have a huge positive impact on the child. And so my son's story was very typical. He was hitting all his developmental milestones, but he was deteriorating physically, and then we witnessed a regression where all of a sudden the words weren't happening anymore. Then the behaviors got really unusual. He stopped playing with toys. He stopped pointing. He stopped connecting with people. And we went through the whole downslide that led to an autism diagnosis just before his second birthday.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, I can't tell you how many times I'm hearing this. Can I ask you a question? Because you made a statement a minute ago where you said your son should probably have never been vaccinated. Am I reading you correctly? And I think it's important for people to know this, JB. You and I have not talked before I brought you up on the phone today, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Am I reading you and you're saying you are not anti-vaccine for everybody always, but for some kids, there needs to be some testing and observation and checking out conditions because maybe that child shouldn't. And what I got from some others that we've interviewed this week, it's not that they're never vaccine, but they think the CDC schedule needs to be changed so you don't hit very young kids with everything all at once. Am I reading all this right?
Yeah, and so this pro-anti, is a really unproductive label because it keeps us from talking at a level of detail that's important. So let me tell you what I mean by that.
Okay, good.
So go back to 1985, okay? I was a sophomore in high school. I'm 49 years old. In 1985, in the United States, there were three vaccines given to children, okay? MMR, DTP, and polio.
Right.
And the vaccination rates were between 50 and 60% for each of those shots, okay? Today, in the United States, a fully vaccinated child at five will receive 38 separate injections, okay? A fully vaccinated child in Denmark will receive 16 separate injections. And so pro versus anti-vaccine doesn't give you enough detail into what's actually happening with the vaccine schedule, how it's different in different countries, what the rates are, et cetera. And so what I would tell you is I believe we give too many, and I believe, more importantly, the screening in advance of the first one needs to change dramatically. So, you know, I have a new book coming out in September. It's called How to End the Autism Epidemic. And in the final chapter, I give a recommendation for how to alter the vaccine schedule. So one of the first things you'll hear whenever I start talking about how vaccines caused my son's autism is, oh, do you want to bring back polio? Well, polio actually remains on my vaccination schedule that I would recommend. But what I do believe is that the subset of vulnerable kids, we have the science to identify them before the first vaccine. And if you think about it for a second, if 3% of the children have autism, and I believe a majority of those are caused by the vaccines, if we took 3% out of the vaccine pool, nothing is going to change about infectious disease, but these vulnerable kids need to be protected. So it's a very complex topic, and most people don't appreciate the history that I just shared with you about how modest the schedule was and how low the vaccination rates were in the middle 1980s. And I often challenge people. I say, hey, look, you know, I support going back to the 1985 schedule. Show me the data that would in some way be dangerous. I was alive then. We didn't have outbreaks. People weren't dying in the streets. We were protected from major diseases. Children were. Why can't we have a conversation about that?
Well, and help me here. And we're going to need to go to our a break here, about a 2 minute break in a minute, JB, and then I'll get back to you. But let me just ask you this real quick before I take the break. You talk about 1985. I've looked up some material. In the early 80s, the autism diagnoses was like one child in 10,000. Now we're sitting at like one in 32 to 36. Obviously something changed. You know, either the food changed or the clothing changed or the location changed, or maybe the rapidity of these shots, these vaccines, maybe that changed, because you can almost correlate the change in the CDC schedule with this incredible rise in autism, right?
You're raising a very contentious issue, and I'm sad to tell you that there are people at the CDC and at the American Academy of Pediatrics who don't even recognize that the rise in autism prevalence is real. And what I mean by that is they will attribute that to better diagnoses, expanded criteria, and other things.
Better diagnoses got us from 1 in 10,000 to 1 in 32?
Try to find on the CDC or AAP's website any assertion that the rise in autism is a real rate. They're happy to muddy the waters. They're happy to say it's uncertain. They're happy to say we're not quite sure. And believe it or not, because most people like you who are not close to this topic, they laugh when you say that this is still a topic. But I'm telling you, this is a serious topic at the upper levels of the AAP and CDC who aren't even acknowledging the rise in the rate is real.
Well, I might have chuckled before, but I've seen just enough in the last couple of months and in reading and learning and watching, and even some words coming from Dr. Wakefield, who's part of the CDC, and some of the admissions that he's made. And I think to continue to deny this is not real brilliant. JB, hang on, if you will, for just a minute. We're talking from Oregon, JB Handley. And JB, somebody just sent me a text, and so I'm going to just pass the thought on to you. They said, okay, so how do you go about getting children screened beforehand, and is it something that insurance would pay for? Those are good questions.
They're great questions. Unfortunately, the quick answer to the second part is no.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Pay for it. Yeah, we have a pretty strong understanding now. As one simple example, if a child has a MTHFR mutation, they would be at real risk to not be able to detox a vaccine. If a child's family, particularly the mother, has a history of autoimmunity, that would be a real problem. In the old days, the AAP would not vaccinate a child who had eczema, so that would be another red flag. If a child is on antibiotics, that would be a giant mistake. Some of the reasons not to vaccinate a child are genetic, and others are very specific to that moment in time. But what's true is this mainstream scientist now could put that compilation together and that checklist together very quickly. But because the AAP won't acknowledge that vaccines are triggering autism, pediatricians, with, except for the lone mavericks, are not willing to go down that path and save the children before the first vaccine. And it's a real shame, and we're in a transition right now. And I just want to say that the book that's coming out for me, How to End the Autism Epidemic in September, two of the things that are the most important parts of the book, one is that the science now on exactly how a vaccine triggers autism has become very clear. And almost all of that published science, unfortunately, has been done by non-Americans. The other thing that's true is that two of the titans of the mainstream autism scientific community, through depositions, are now agreeing with the parents that in certain vulnerable children, vaccines will trigger autism. And this is something that nobody has seen yet or known yet. They'll know when my book comes out. But these are earth-shattering pieces of news that validate what parents have been saying for decades. And I really hope it will change the conversation, that the pediatricians who are already saying this will speak up even louder, and that we can find a way to protect the vulnerable kids before their first vaccine the way my son should have been protected. His mother had autoimmunity issues. He had eczema. He was sick. He was on antibiotics. He was experiencing gastrointestinal distress. He had the MTHFR mutation. He is literally a red flag for a child who anybody with a brain would agree should not have been vaccinated. And now at 15, he has a debilitating, lifelong, permanent disability that will keep him from living by himself. And it's a tragic shame. And my son is one of millions of children in the same boat. It's simply unacceptable that this continues to happen. And the number one reason it continues to happen is because of the insidious nature of the pharmaceutical industry, who funds all these talking heads to come out and sow all this doubt and publish all this ridiculous science to try and say that what parents are saying time and again with the exact same story isn't true.
And from what I'm understanding, after the law in 1986, pharmaceutical companies who can't be sued.
It's insane. And nobody understands that there's a special court in Washington, D.C. And it's not even a court, Pat. That's not even the right way to describe it. There's a single person sitting at the front of the room known as a special master, and they alone can decide each case on its own merits. Parents who actually make it into vaccine court, which is a micro fraction of people with vaccine injury, it takes 5+ years. They're hassled like crazy, and you're not going to believe this, but the lawyer working against you in vaccine court is a Department of Justice employee. It is the most cockamamie kangaroo court you've ever seen, and if a vaccine maker is causing autism, they're not paying the bill.
Wow, that's amazing.
Nobody understands this.
I hasten to tell the people, J.B. Handley, and the last name is H-A-N-D-L-E-Y, and the reason I bring that up is you can go to www.jbhandley.com, and J.B., there's a lot there about you, the story, the places where you've been, documentaries that you've been on. There are some links to other things people can go to. When your new book comes out, How to End the Autism Epidemic, will that book also be available through your site?
It'll be available on Amazon and then in many bookstores, and I will donate 100% of the proceeds to nonprofit autism causes.
Okay.
So I think parents can read it and know that the person writing it wrote it in good faith. And really, at this point, the only thing I want to see is that other families don't have to go through what not only we had to go through, but hundreds of thousands of American families, millions of families around the world, all telling the same story. And what's beautiful and amazing that my book really covers, it's not a story really about me and my family. There's snippets of that. There is an entire community of doctors and scientists who know exactly what the truth is and who are doing their best to shout above Big Pharma's noise to tell the truth. And I give all those people a platform, I give their science a platform, and I give the opportunity for parents to maybe step back and question the things they're being told by their mainstream pediatricians right now.
JB, let me ask you this, and just so people know, within minutes after we're done, this interview will be up on our website, on my Facebook page. We'll give you links to jbhanley.com. We'll give you reminders there. Check Amazon next month for the new book. Two quick questions, and I've got 2 minutes left, JB. Time just flies here. Two questions. Number one, am I hearing you that whatever damage was done with your son is not reversible? And number two, are you mad?
First of all, it is reversible, and my son has actually improved dramatically. There's a group of doctors, which you can find through a website called MedMaps. And these MedMaps doctors, they treat children for the actual vaccine injury. And so my son actually has regained his speech. He's able to fly on airplanes. We go on vacations together. He will not be living on his own as an adult. But from how injured he was to where he is today, his improvements have been dramatic. And there are children who recover completely. I would refer everybody to a movie that they can find online. It's 25 minutes long, and it's called Autism Yesterday, which my wife and I produced. And the children in that film, of which there are five, three of them are headed to college this year. So, no,
wow.
Autism is preventable, and it's reversible. Do you cure it? No. But can you recover and live a normal life? Yes. And my son hasn't won that lottery, but he's improved dramatically through special diets, nutritional supplements, and other nuanced treatments that a MedMaps doctor can help a child with. And, of course, I'm angry, but really what will resolve my anger is that we end this madness once and for all. And I genuinely believe the combination of scientists, again, mostly non-Americans, and some very mainstream American autism doctors who've changed their view will end the autism epidemic.
Well, I can't thank you enough for coming on today. I don't know you. I feel now, though, as if I sense a little bit of your anguish and pain and certainly your activism. I still don't feel I know all the answers, but I feel like this is something, JB, that at least everybody should take a moment and dig into it and look into it, and especially if you're the parent of young children, they need to get a handle on it. JB, the interview is going up on the website. We'll have connections there to you, to your book when it comes out. For today, thank you so very much. I appreciate your time, sir.
You're very kind to host me and to host this topic. Thank you very much.
Thank you. JB Hanley from Oregon.